Anytime we're talking Saints, love to bring in former linebacker, also Super Bowl champ Scott Shanley to the radio huddle. How you been, Scott? I know you were out at training camp for a little bit out in California.
Hey, yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, it was a fun week last week. Got out there around the team and just doing some media and pretending to be a coach for a week and sitting in some of the meeting rooms. A lot of fun being around the guys.
And, Scott, when you look at it, final roster cut's going to come on Tuesday. Just reflect back and look at your situation. All of a sudden, you might be in training camp, and it's not the final 53. I mean, they have to make roster cuts to get to 53, but before you know it, there's still a ways before the actual first game against Carolina. Just talk about maybe your situation. You can look like Mark Cimino, all was involved. This is post-Katrina, and that happens year in and year out on different teams, but just because, you know, you can't call your mom or your wife or girlfriend, oh, I made the final 53 roster, especially if you're on the back end, because that's very fluid.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're in the probably bottom 10 to 12 roster spots, it's always really fluid. I mean, it's about how much are you playing on game day, really, is in terms of how safe you are on a roster. But to your point, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going to find out what the waiver system is. You know, guys are going to think they're on the team. And, you know, it's an opportunity. We went through this in 2006, and you kind of referenced it. They traded Stallworth and Cimino, and I traded. And, you know, they kind of pieced together their roster. Sean pieced together the roster. And then in waivers, claimed a bunch of people as well. So you're going to have teams that have a lot of depth at certain positions that have to cut guys that they don't really want to cut. And it's an opportunity for teams like the Saints to address their depth concerns at certain positions, because you're probably not going to go out and get a bunch of starters, you know, in this time of year. What you're doing is you're building the depth of your team and trying to find some players that maybe you really liked in the draft that just couldn't make another team.
Now, Scott, do you think Trevor Penning can block you? I don't think he could. I mean, I'm kind of worried when, you know, we want Trevor Penning to work out considering where he was drafted, but one thing, I think that, we don't know, the jury's still out. He's going to play against the Titans on Sunday. But I don't think they're just going to play him just because he's number one draft pick and he went left tackle to right tackle and maybe sacrifice the first month of the season in the first couple of games. I would not be surprised if he doesn't do a good job against Tennessee on Sunday that they go with Udu, whatever, at right tackle. I mean, I'm not hating. I'm just telling you, it's a production business. And Dennis, we got to get off to a fast start. But, I mean, you think that's fair? Or are they going to give Trevor at least a chance to start the season?
I think they may give Trevor, unless he just really struggles. I don't know how much they're going to play, starting caliber guys in this preseason game. But he should play. And if there's a competition at that spot, I think those guys should play a handful of series, because you need to be comfortable going into the first game of the year that you're not going to get your quarterback killed from the backside or from left or right tackle, wherever you feel like you need to upgrade your team. Because like I said, you're not going to go out and claim probably a starting right tackle in waivers. Those guys are already starting for teams. And the thing about the NFL, there's no hide positions. You don't hide players anywhere. You're going to get exposed in this league at every single position because everybody, it's a world-class athletes on the field. So if you don't have a starting caliber right tackle, your quarterback's going to get hit. You're going to get a ton of sacks. You're going to give up sack fumbles. So I will say this about Trevor, and I know there is frustration. I was frustrated with him watching him in the first game. But there was a little bit of improvement from the first game to second game.
Yeah, but who he's blocking? But Scott, who he's blocking against the 49ers?
I know. I agree exactly. I know exactly what you're saying. That's what, to me, the disappointing part about the inter-squad scrimmages with the Niners is it would have been great work for Trevor.
Yes,
it would have been an opportunity for the organization to watch Bosa and all those guys, whoever was practicing for the Niners every day in practice, going against Trevor and say, okay, we've seen enough. He can start for us. He's had a great week of practice against elite guys, or he can't. I think it was a huge missed opportunity, and I really wish the Niners would have kept that inter-squad practice on, because I think you could have really identified a lot of things going every day in practice.
You know, Scott, I think, and I put him on this category, I'll give you, I guess, honorable mention. I'm just stroking you a little bit. About being in the Dawn Patrol, DeMario Davis. I think DeMario Davis, one of the greatest free agent acquisitions the Saints have ever had, behind Drew Brees. But I look at our linebacking core right now. I thought Pete Werner stepped up to the plate. I think that's why they rewarded him with a contract. He did not pout about the competition. You know, you bring in Willie Gay Jr. When you think about that, you bring in Hudson over from Washington. So I kind of like our linebacking room. Now, I wish Jalen Ford would be more available. You know, anytime you're a draft pick, a fifth round out of Texas, but he's always been hurt. But you know who's taking the next step? I think you might agree with this, DeMarco Jackson and Orgy.
I was going to say Anthony Orgy,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, like, they've been, like, they both were tackling machines in college. You look at RJ at Vanderbilt, he played in the Saudis at Conference, 100 tackles, or you look at DeMarco, Appalachian State, 100 tackles. So, but the one thing, this is kind of a trivia thing, and you know, you play special teams and all what it takes, the more you could do. Who would guess that, okay, the number one guy, oh, he's all pro, or potentially all pro, always, JT Gray. I mean, we had Chris Banjo, how dominant he was. So why are we getting rid of Chris Banjo? We even got better with JT Gray. And then only second to JT Gray was DeMarco Jackson in special teams tackles. And then you look, they bring back Howell for Michigan State, the linebacker. So just say how important that is and those guys standing out and understanding their role.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all three phases. If you want to go where everybody wants to go and climb the mountaintop and be winning division championships and winning playoff games and winning Super Bowls, there are no, we were good in two of the three phases. You have to be great in all three phases. And there's some weeks where the offense isn't clicking and the special teams makes a play and you pull out a win that you shouldn't have won because of that phase of the game. So, yeah, I think the special teams unit, you know, a lot of people overlook it, and this thing, I think the change in the return game is going to be huge. I think you're going to see a lot more returns. I think you're going to see shorter fields for the offenses to go. So, yeah, it's all three phases. And if there's one group that I'm qualified to talk about after last week, and I spent tons of time with these guys, it is the linebacker group. And I promise you this, I can tell you this, after watching them practice, the guys you mentioned sitting in their meeting rooms, watching them work off the field together, this group will not be a reason why the Saints don't win. This linebacker group is special. DeMario, as their leader, there's no doubt he's second greatest free agent acquisition behind Breeze. Pete Warner, it was a great contract for him and for the team. I think Pete's a really good player, three-down linebacker. But I think Willie Gay's addition is going to add versatility to this defense. And what's going to be hard is Willie can run. He can play a lot of nickel snaps. You can put three backers on the field. You don't always need to go nickel. The hard thing is, do you want to go 3-3-5 nickel instead of 4-2-5 nickel? Because this defensive line is special. This defensive line has a chance to be the best defensive line in the league. So, you know, they got a lot of really good problems defensively when it comes to playing time. But I think this linebacker group is special in terms of their leadership and their ability. You couple that with this defensive line, who I think has a chance to be one of the best in the NFL. I think you got a chance to be really dominant on defense.
Well, and Scott, I think we got the best, I think, in the history of the Saints. We have never had a group of cornerbacks like this. Now, I'm saying if everybody's healthy, if Lattimore or Debo or Alante Taylor is playing with so much confidence right now, and then you look at Kool-Aid, I don't know if we've ever been at this level as far as the Saints organization. And that's the one thing I put is we can hang with anybody in the NFL as far as our cornerbacks. Now, safety's a little different, but would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that because – like I just talked about, the front seven is as good as there is in football, and you want to go to the back end. And heck, look at, I would have a hard time keeping my four corners off the field, and I would play a lot of man across the board because I like the matchups. You drafted Kool-Aid height, he can cover well. You have Debo. Alante Taylor is as good at nickel as there is in the NFL. He's a special player. He really is, and he's coming along. Guys really respect him. He's emerging as one of the leaders on this defense. And then you just need Marshawn to return to Marshawn's form. And that's a really tough defense to move the ball against. And you know, there were times last week I'm watching practice, I'm like, is our offense real just not good, or is our defense just dominant? And I started to take away that the offense isn't bad. It's just the defense is really darn good. I really think they have a chance to be really special.
You know, Scott, you mentioned you spent a lot of time in the linebacker room. Did you happen to see any of them, and it's a weird question, did you happen to see any of them drinking coffee while you were in there?
I did not. I did not see a single coffee cup in that room.
But that's I can't figure it out, because that's their mantra, is we want to be the coffee of the defense, but none of them seem to drink any coffee. So how do you even know? That's kind of a joke. But, you know, DeMario talked yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it, but he had some really interesting things to say. And I've spent this entire camp telling myself, okay, don't get overhyped about Chase Young. Like, let's see what he has. Let's see what he has. Like, let's not necessarily, okay, say, oh, he's going to be the defensive player of the year. He's going to be the defensive player of the year. But then DeMario gets up there and says, I think he might be the defensive player of the year. And I don't know, when DeMario says something like that, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not overreacting. Maybe he's seeing what I'm seeing. And I'm just curious. Obviously, you just mentioned it. This defensive line has the chance to be the best group in the NFL. And I have to feel like his addition, along with pushing Cam inside and getting him to rush a defensive tackle, which is something I know Cam hates in general, but he's willing to do it because he's the ultimate team player. I'm just curious, you know, with Chase in that group, what have you seen from him, and what are your expectations for that group?
Yeah, I'll be the first to say, I usually don't like to give people their flowers before they do anything. And Chase has, you know, he hasn't even been on the field yet. But rarely do you get a chance to get the number two overall pick in the draft, you know, on a one-year deal. He's a prove-it deal. So the team's going to benefit because he's got to play well to get that big payday. So I think Chase is hungry. I think Chase my criticism of Chase in Washington was really that he got too big. He didn't look as twitchy as he did when he was slimmed down. This guy looks like he was built in the lab. He looks like he came in shape. His pass rush looked as good as I've seen. I watched him a lot in Washington, and he was giving our tackles fits. And I know we just talked about Trevor, but he's going to make Trevor better. The left side, he was whipping everybody. And so I think he has a chance to really make a name for himself. The guys love him on the defensive side of the ball. He's integrated well into the team already. And then, to your point, you got Granderson on the other side. He's a highly productive player. They reward him with a contract. And then you're taking your all-time sack leader in Saints history, and you're going to put him down inside against guards. And I talk to Cam, and I joke about this, but Cam is the ultimate team player. And I just said, Cam, listen, this is mortality. Everybody goes through this. And, you know, you're going downside, you're working against those guards. And if those guards were good, they'd be playing tackle in this league. So you're going to have a chance to get a ton of sacks. And, you know, he kind of just smirks at it. But it really is. It's a testament to Cam. And then you add Brian to that front four and pass rush downs. And, heck, I don't know if there's an offensive line in the league that wants to see those four across the line on third downs.
Scott, when you got to spend some time out with this team out in California, just your general vibe of what you got from everybody, how is they feeling? Is the confidence high going into this season? I know, like, the national media, most of the folks have a negative outlook from this squad, but how is the team feeling about itself?
Yeah, you know, I said this to a lot of people when I was out there. I think this was it's disappointing because fans don't get to be out there at camp with them. And so it felt weird not having that energy from the fans. But I think if there was any year that this team needed to get away and have a true training camp and be on their own for a month and bond with each other and not go home to their house and sleep in their bed, it's tough. It really is. As a player, you don't like going away, but there are huge benefits to it. And I think, you know, I heard from a number of people that this team grew closer, that this team learned more about one another, this team, different groups were hanging out more just because of all the time you're spending together. And, you know, I talked to Mickey Loomis and guys who were around our groups, you know, 06 to 13 and 06 to 12. They said that's what made our group special is, you know, all the guys got along and they were friends and never felt like work. You love being around one another. And they feel like that, they sense that is starting to come along with this group that was kind of missing the last couple of years. So you can never underestimate team chemistry. You absolutely can't underestimate. When you enjoy being around your guys, you play that much harder for them. When there's a love and affection there, you play that much harder for them because you don't want to disappoint your teammates. So, you know, I think it was a great year as far as that goes, and they definitely spent a lot of time together, and I think you'll see it pay off.
Well, Scott, you know, team chemistry, in theory, that works out. But what if you have an individual, I don't know, he's weird or he's just an introvert, and, you know, you're playing a team sport. It's not golf or tennis, like Trevor Penning. And I watch a couple of times in the O-line, they're not doing a drill, and he goes hang out by himself. It's like, I don't think he's pouting. He just don't. The offensive line, they all over here are hanging out together, sitting on the bench or whatever, talking, and then Trevor Penning's over there. I mean, I don't know if he doesn't want to hear them or what, but I go, well, that's not good. I mean, is he just a different cat? Listen, you can go by yourself and do what the hell you want if you like Trent Williams. You know, 49ers, if you're just kicking ass or you always available, man, listen, just let me do my thing. Then, okay, just produce. But then when you have questions, it's like, come on, you got to be more of a team player. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're struggling as a player, you know you're struggling as a player. And a lot of times, a lot of guys will try to give you advice in how to get out of your slump. And so you start getting all these different guys giving you advice. Hey, you need to do this. Oh, right. And this. and you don't want to really listen to it. And sometimes you, as a player, when you're in a slump, and we've all been there, like you have a couple bad snaps, a couple bad series, a couple bad games, and you're just trying to find a way to get back, get that moxie back and that mojo back. And I think Trevor's in his own head right now. You know, for 2 years, they constantly told him, you're too heavy-footed, your speed is killing you. So now he goes in and he's playing light-footed and trying to be athletic, and he gets bull rushed in the quarterback against Arizona. He's right now just mentally defeated. What I will judge Trevor after he plays and has a game or two of good games, and then let's see how he plays when his confidence is back. Because right now, he has no confidence. I don't even know if he can play in this league or not, Bobby. I really don't, because I haven't seen enough good play after play for him to be confident, and I just think right now he's mentally shot.
Well, Scott, what about this? I think, because where he was drafted, even if you don't work on a right tackle, the Saints aren't giving up on him. I don't know, don't we need a left guard? I don't know, he's a big son of a gun. You got maybe the tackle on one side, you got the center. And the reason why I say this, and he was outstanding, Jim Dombrowski. First-round draft pick out of University of Virginia, didn't work out at tackle, but they put him at guard, then he played double-digit seasons and was outstanding at guard. Now, I know he got a little discouraged blocking Lawrence Taylor, at tackle. But that's why I think even if he doesn't – now, think about this. Even though if he don't work out at left or right tackle, I don't know if the Saints are giving up on him because we still – the guard position, look how fluid that is at left guard, that they still might give him a chance there. Because I think, really, when he can go forward and maybe run block, that's his asset. Pass blocking, not so much. But it's just amazing when you have a tackle or center alongside you and you're not on that island at tackle. Now, I know they drafted him as a tackle, but I always say this, that cliche, nothing new under the sun. This has happened before about you might want a player to work out a tackle and not necessarily have him. Maybe they could play in the interior. You know, it's like usually if you could play left tackle and you're outstanding, you can play right tackle because you're a dancing bear. You get it done. To me, if you could play center, you could play guard. Now, I don't know if you could play guard and you could play center because you can't just throw the ball back there. You got to snap the ball first, then block. So just break that all down when you think, like, I don't think they necessarily give up on Trevor. I said this a year and a half ago. I don't know. Move him to guard.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Bobby, and I mentioned that to people out there. I mentioned it to coaches. I mentioned it to front office people, and I think that's the natural progression. And the name I brought up to everybody was Andres Pete. You all drafted him to be a cornerstone left tackle, right tackle. He couldn't block out there. You moved him to guard, and he was a Pro Bowl guard, and he got hurt some years, but he ended up being a fairly productive player for you, and you got something out of the draft pick. And I think there are some people in the organization that's the natural progression. If Trevor can't play right tackle, he's going to slide inside. If you can't play guard, then you just admit that you messed up on the pick. The problem is right now, I don't know if they trust their depth at tackle, and they're trying to almost make it work. You know, if they had a Ramczyk and Terron Armstead and Bushrod and, Stinchcomb, and they had all these other options, I think you would see Trevor at guard right now. I really do. They're just almost being forced to make this work a little bit longer than they want to, but at some point, if it just doesn't work, I think you'll see him trying out a guard, definitely.
Awesome stuff as always, Scott. Definitely appreciate your time and be talking to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right, Scott. Thanks, one Scott. Of the greatest players to ever come out in Nebraska. You know, like, you don't think in Nebraska high school football, and he played for the Cornhuskers. You know, they usually got to think of California, Texas, and all that. No, he's homegrown. Scott Chandley was a Nebraskan stud from high school.